This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you and your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Virginia Turfgrass Council. This episode is sponsored in part by ByeSod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode of Virginia Turfgrass, we're speaking with VTC board member Harris Wheeler. Harris is the founder and owner of Grounds Maintenance Consulting and Training Services, or GMCATS. Harris, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So I have been hearing so much about you and seeing a lot of your work lately from VTC and the Environmental Institute. And I think it would be fantastic for VTC members and our other readers and listeners to get to know a little more about you and your history in the industry. So let's just go back and start at the beginning, if we can. And tell me, how did you decide to pursue a career in the landscape and turfgrass management industry?
Well, I really didn't, be honest with you, I didn't make that decision. I kind of backed into it. I guess it's all started as a youngster in South Carolina at 4 or 5 years old. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents down in Pendleton, South Carolina. And my grandfather had a farm and cows, chickens, hogs, those things, and a big garden. So we were outside all the time. And then we moved to the city, which was Columbia, South Carolina. My mother always had a garden and I hated it. She wanted us to work in the garden, dig up the garden and pull the weeds. And well, when she, every spring, I said, oh my God, here we go. And so, you know, but meanwhile, you know, all those things affect you later on in life. I didn't realize I was developing I wouldn't say a love for the outdoors, but just being acclimated to the outdoor world. And so fast forward to 1983, my nephews down in South Carolina were having some troubles. One was 14, one was 16. And their mother called and said she couldn't handle them. What can I do? I said, well, let them spend the summer with me. So I had already been renting a house and working outside and decided that we want to just cut some grass in the neighborhood. So we made a little flyer and we went from door to door because I told them they were going to work. They weren't going to sit around and just, you know, watch TV all day long. And so we started cutting grass in the neighborhood and they left that summer. They entered the summer, they left and the customers kept calling me. And I was working an insurance job as an adjuster for the Travelers Insurance Company. And I was just wanting to go outside. I wanted to spend outside. So customers kept calling. So I decided I was going to do the lawn work part-time and get another job working with youth. So I quit my job in 1984 to work for a youth agency and found out that I had so much business come in, I couldn't do both. So I quit that job, which was about 2 weeks I had, and started cutting grass in the neighborhood. And that's how I really got started.
Okay. Well, you kind of went the roundabout way, but turned out to be a pretty good choice for you now that you can look back on it.
Excellent choice. Choice.
Yeah. So now from there, when you really transitioned into doing this type of work full time, how'd you get from there to here? Because you've kind of hit a lot of areas. You've been a horticulture instructor and you've done the actual work of keeping landscapes and lawns up. But now your business kind of has a different direction. So tell me about how that evolved to where it is now.
Well, first of all, I was a wayward youth. Okay. I didn't like education. I had a lot of challenges in school, especially when I was in 11th and 12th grade. And my senior year in school, I was about flunked out of high school. So when I finished school, I did graduate. In fact, when I graduated, I was crying because I couldn't believe I graduated. But then I roamed the streets for a while, then went in the Army for 3 years and went on to, by the time I got to be 20, 4 years old. I got married and started college. I was mature enough to handle the college world. And so I majored in music, spent 3.5 years, almost 4 years in music. I ended up getting an interdisciplinary studies degree from the University of South Carolina. But teaching, I majored in teaching and education, music education. So that was part of my background. Teaching and was a big part of my background. But I did go into the insurance field because they offered me a good paying job. And my wife was saying, you better take that job. You better take that job. So I didn't really have much of a choice. But so I did that for 4 years. And so when I started with the lawn service, the education part was still in me of, okay, you got to educate yourself. And so that took me down a journey. I was an entrepreneur. I had a business for 7 years. It went from TLC Lawn Service to Turfmaster. And I shut the business down in 1991. Had a lot of challenges in the business, a lot of things I didn't know. But anyway, I started working for the city of Richmond as a senior labor and trades crew chief. Then I worked for the housing authority as a ground supervisor. Then I worked for back to the city of Richmond as a senior gardener. And it was during that time that I began to really study the horticulture field and really get into it. Was a guy that mentored me. He was a senior gardener. He would take me to the greenhouse and just show me the propagation and all the systems they had and the fertilization plans and all the books. And so I began really engulfed in studying this craft. And that led to me volunteering at the Richmond Technical Center. And when the gentleman left, who was David Seward, he said, you can apply, you can do this. And so they hired me as a horticulture instructor in 2000. I started actually part-time in 1998 and I went full-time in 2000. So I taught from 2000 to 2013.
Okay. So what age group of students were you teaching in that position?
It was high school students from 9th grade to 12th.
Okay. So how did you find students as far as their interest and how receptive they were to learning about horticulture in the sense of maybe pursuing that as a career?
Well, most of the students first, I didn't choose my students. They were given to me. And most of the students I got were the hard-headed kids that they didn't know what to do with. They just set them the wheel. And so I got used to dealing with hard-headed kids who didn't want to be in my class. And so I had to be very creative. And because I knew this was a career that I loved, I had a lot of passion for it. Mm-hmm. And so I had to be very creative in developing a ways in which they could handle or they could actually stomach horticulture. And eventually they began to see, in fact, I took them on a lot of field trips and they began to see, appreciate landscape. And we always went out to a good place to eat. And I said, you enjoying that food? Yeah. Well, somebody had to grow it. So that, you know, you have to get the kids where they are and find a way to entice them to appreciate what I was doing. But I have a lot of passion for it. So they knew that.
Yeah. So that kind of ties into, this is a conversation you and I have had before about what education really works and how you've kind of evolved from that teaching in a classroom setting to what you're doing with GemCats now. And we talked about maybe some of the requirements of teaching in public schools right now with a lot of challenges with focusing on testing. Tell me how you wanted to change that and make it a little more appealing to people who really could use some great career options.
Well, I think it was around 2005, maybe 2006. SOLs were getting to be a real big barometer for finding out where children were as far as the academic. And what happened, it drifted over to the technical center. So they had us doing a lot of testing, NOCTI testing, OSHA testing, career readiness testing, just one after another. Now, the students were being pre-SOL tests, then SOL tests, and then post-SOL tests. By the time they start testing so much at the tech center, I had one girl she basically had a meltdown. She said, I'm not taking this no more. And a lot of my students felt the same way. And I had reached the point where, you know, enough is enough. And because I'm the business I'm teaching in horticulture, there is a time frame from September to about Thanksgiving that you have to get a lot of work done. And so my first 2.5 months, most of my kids just spent in a lab taking tests. Mm-hmm. So when they finish all the tests, then they could do what I'm supposed to teach them. Well, by that time, it's 25 or 30 degrees outside. Yeah. So I'm just saying that was a frustrating part. So I ended up retiring at 62 because I felt like I couldn't give the kids what I really wanted to give them. And after that, I took a job working with the prison population for 2, maybe 3 years. And then I was offered another job working for a company called Groundwork, RVA, and they working with students, which was very fulfilling. And I work with youth. And since then, I decided to, this is what I want to spend the rest of my life doing, teaching what I have learned. And Gym Cats came into practice because I played basketball. I wanted to be a professional basketball player. Of course, I never reached that. But I always spent a lot of time in the gym. And I felt like the outdoors is my gym. That's my gym. So when I go out, when I leave the house, man, I'm going to the gym. So it's not like I'm hating to do this. It's my stress reliever. So I came up with the name Gym Cats. It was at first Grounds Yard Maintenance, but that was too long. So I just went Grounds Maintenance Consulting and Training Services. And I'm hoping to attract some young people who are athletic or like working out or like exercising, because it's a physically demanding career, that see this as an opportunity to continue to be in shape and be outdoors and enjoy Mother Nature.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that consulting and training services portion of Gym Cats. Who does that involve and how does it work?
Well, right now, I've got a couple of small businesses that I've put under my wings, and I'm actually working with them. I mean, hands-on, going out to the job site with them. One in particular who has really clung to me and calls me just about every day. And so there's a lot of little things that they trade secrets that you learn. And at the same time, I'm teaching them the different type of grasses, the different type of weeds, different safety precautions they need to implement. Because I worked for an insurance company for 3 years as a claim representative. And one of the things I did all day long was to investigate accidents. So that has come in handy because when I got into the lawn care industry, I realized, boy, this is a lot of safety issues in this field. So that's one, I would say that's one of my strong points in recognizing safety issues that need to be addressed. And I use that insurance background that helped me to understand, you know, liability issues. And so I'm using that to help the young men that I'm working with. I'm also working with a man called, his name is Mr. Bob Ogerbright. He has a outdoor learning center. Southside, it's called the Oak Grove Bellmead Outdoor Learning Center. And he developed this outdoor learning center himself. It's really an outdoor classroom. And I've helped him and volunteered, but we're hoping to set up an even more polished program this year at that outdoor learning center.
And that's targeted at younger students, right?
Yes, 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 yes. We want to work with, actually, he has, middle school primarily coming to the Oak Grove Bellmead Outdoor Learning Center. And that's where you can get the students interested. They have a garden there. They have about 5 or 6 chickens. They have a little creek where they do a little checking of the water and looking at the little the guppies that are in the water, and they have a beautiful playground. Just kids enjoying the outdoors, the bird watching, that sort of thing. And I'm involved in that.
That's fantastic. As the parent of a middle schooler and a couple of younger kids, you know, you can really start to see their interest growing right now in anything you nurture and put the time into that they can, like you've talked about, have hands-on learning and actually experience it really has a big impact, much like your early gardening years. And look, you know, look where that went.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. When students can link the theory with the hands-on application, then the theory has a bigger impact. It's almost like I'm taking swimming classes, and it's almost trying to like teaching swimming through a virtual atmosphere, and it's totally different when you get in that water. I mean, hello. So you have to connect. And I think what the biggest thing I have going for, I have a college degree, which is good, and I have the academia behind it, but I end up doing I do blue-collar work. But I truly understand how those two can mesh, and really you can enjoy both worlds, the academia versus the trades world. But I think that's a separation in those two areas that sometimes we get mixed up and seeing how close they are related.
Well, and I think, you know, we look at the community building aspect of this and the companies that you're helping, you know, a lot. And even in my area, the lawn and landscape companies are more, they're actually skilled workers, and it's a trade. It's not necessarily a lot of college educated folks that are out here working, but understanding the value of the knowledge that they've gained through their actual hands-on work. And like you said, the physical nature of this work, it's really a tremendous career with some fantastic people. So I love how you're investing in that and helping those who maybe just were like, I need a job. And they got in this industry and now they're getting a little more in-depth training. I think that's amazing. Okay, so this loops around to a question I like to ask, and I almost always get the same answer, but I'm going to see what you say. What do you think is the biggest challenge in the lawn, landscape, horticulture profession right now?
I think the biggest challenge is educating the public. I think that there is a mindset among some people. And as an African-American, I think that I'm just going to speak from my community, that anybody can do it. It's easy peasy, you know, 1, 2, 3. But to do it right, to do it with precision, to understand the dynamics of the landscape field, you need to get some education or hands-on experience from somebody that knows what they're doing. So I think that's one of the education. A lot of people think, you know, like, again, I said, while teaching, they just sent kids to my class that will cut up most of them with kids that, you know, that nobody could deal with. Well, that wheel ahead, well, it takes a lot. And the kids begin to understand, man, you got to know a little bit of math. Yes. I had my kids in school. They had to stand up before the mic and speak. Why do we have to do this? Because you might be a salesman in this industry. So you have to learn how to sell. They had to do a lot of writing. Why, Mr. Wheeler? Well, you might want to write a magazine article about landscape. So you don't know. There's all kinds of careers. So I think we just have to educate the public and really educate, I think, higher administration, people that's in just regular education, the superintendents, the principals, that this is just more than just they just got a little greenhouse over there. It's science, and it's very important. And it's not easy once you begin to study it and realize what's involved. So I think that's the biggest challenge, educating the public.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And you know, we've had an opportunity with Virginia Turfgrass to talk to some of the high school programs that are doing specifically turfgrass programs in the high schools. But, you know, educating the public always includes, you know, how do we get kids to understand what this is and bring them in? And you definitely you're right. I mean, it covers such a spectrum of skills and abilities. Yeah. And those instructors that are doing it well are incorporating all of those elements. And when they get those kids to really understand it, especially at that high school level, when it really clicks, it's wonderful to see kids who really hold on to that. And they take such pride in the work that they've completed because they considered all those parts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about your recent busyness with your involvement with VTC and being on the board. And I think every time I get an email from Tom Tracy, it says, Harris and I are doing this and we're doing this legislative work. And he is keeping you hopping. So tell me what motivated you to join the board and the type of work you're doing with VTC.
Well, Tom and I go back a few years. It started with the trade show they had in Fredericksburg. And I remember calling him, and this was a while back because I retired in 2013. So it was probably around 2005 or 2006. So that's what, that 15 years plus, 17 years. And one of the things I did with my students was take them on a lot of field trips. I got my actual commercial bus driver's license so that I wouldn't have to depend on somebody to drive my buses for my students, because that was always a challenge when you want to take them on a field trip. You had to find out if there was a bus driver. I said, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the training so I can just get the bus and drive my kids. And that was a good move, because then I didn't have to worry about, well, we don't have nobody. I had my driver's my commercial license. So I called up Tom at the spur of the moment. I said, they got the winter field days up there in Fredericksburg. And I talked to him on the phone. He said, bring your kids on up. Don't worry about it. Just bring them up. And I brought my kids up there and they had a blast. And I thanked him so much because it was the last minute. He didn't even charge the kids. He didn't charge me. I had about 15 kids and they got to tour all the different things. And so that's when our relationship really started. And from time to time, we would talk. But I got to know him in a few other times we ate and talked. And so last year we did a project together in Petersburg. And he worked me really good. But it was a fun project. And he said afterwards, we really spent a lot of time together on that project. We got to know each other even more. Mm-hmm. And he asked me to be on the board. I wasn't seeking to be on any board, but he asked me and I thought about it. And I said, okay. So it wasn't something that I desired to do. It was sort of, he asked me and I like what they're doing. I know some of the people on the board. And I said, okay, I'll do it.
Okay. So now that we know he maybe twisted your arm just a little bit, tell me, what do you hope comes from this relationship that you have with VTC?
Wow. You know, we went to a conference yesterday and today, Virginia Ag Summit, and met a lot of people. But I think my niche as an African American is to bring that to our community. There's very few in the field of horticulture that I know of. It's a few. And I think a lot of things have happened to cause people to disdain this field. The results of what happened years ago, you know, I'm not going to get my hands dirty. Sometimes even a slavery type mentality, whatever. And I think I have to be the one to show them, man, this is fun. You don't even know what you're talking about. And it's okay to get your hands dirty. You know, it's okay. I remember one time I was going to the bank on a regular basis, making deposits. And I would go in there all sweaty and dirty. And one day I walked in there with a suit on because I had to go to a business meeting. And the lady didn't even know how to recognize me. And she said, oh, Mr. Wheeler. And she like gasped almost. And I said to myself, what's with that? It's almost like there's a stigma on people that get their hands dirty and get dirty outside. So I want to make sure that I share with people, it's okay to get dirty, especially the people of color. It's okay. You don't have to have a tie and a suit and all that. You can work outside. You can have a good living and have a lot of fun. I think that's part of my niche. And just because you have a college degree or don't have a college degree, you can still do this kind of work because it's, I just finished the turf grass professional turf grass management program at Virginia Tech. And that was the hardest course I've taken. Even in all my college courses, that was the hardest course I've taken. And so, you know, I want people to know that it's not about getting somebody who just grab a lawnmower and pull it and that's it. It's a lot more involved. So I think that's my, I'm going back to, I want to help educate the public as to there are so many careers and so many advantages of going into this agriculture or horticulture field.
Well said. Is your wife about to come in here and tell you you're talking too much? Because I heard her with my own ears. So I know you're married. Tell me about your wife and your family.
Well, I've got a lovely wife of 40, almost 47 years. It's 47 this year. And I have two grown children. One is 40, one is 38. And I have three grandchildren, 3, 4, and 7. And I have a blast with them.
That's living the life with those grandbabies. So what do you enjoy doing when you're not working and running around for VTC?
Well, I say it like this. I'm always picking at my wife. Okay. I just pick. And we have a lot of fun back and forth.
Well, listen, I've asked a lot of people what their hobbies are outside of work, and I'm going to say that's the first time somebody's talking at their wife. Is that like poking the beast? I mean, what is that? And you've been married, would you say, 47 years?
47 in July.
All right. Well, obviously something's working.
Besides that, I enjoy, I spend a lot of time in church. I'm a Sunday school teacher. And of course, the pandemic shut all that down. But I taught ages 6 to 10 for probably the last, 10 years or so. And so I enjoy that, that the church and what it, the spiritual part of my life. I am preparing now to take a lifeguard certification. I enjoy swimming. That's something that I hadn't planned on doing, but that's another long story that I don't want to get into, but I enjoy swimming now. Just learned how to do the flip turn not too long ago. And I've got a certification coming up in May. I'm not sure if I'm going to take it in May because it requires, it's a physical challenge for me to do some of the things they ask me to do. But I do that. And I'm still involved in music. I have an instrumental ensemble. I'm in charge of the instrumental ensemble at my church. And I play a lot of table tennis. I've been a part of the Virginia Senior Games for the last 10 years or so. And I love that table tennis. And the other game that I've recently picked up right before the pandemic hit, and this is what caused me almost not to finish high school, because I used to cut class in high school and go shoot pool. So right before the pandemic, I thought about a pool table, and this is right before the pandemic hit, and found a good deal on pool table and put it in my basement, and the juices were flowing by pool, and I love it. And if I were teaching math, I would work with my kids on different angles and different things that I learned through math about pool. And I think that's how you get kids really excited about something. You show them a game they like, then you show them, this is how the math works in it. This is how the angles work. How are you looking at this? And that's something I'm going to use. Some of the games that I play, table tennis and pool and music, to get kids to understand, you know, one of my teachers said, and then I'll stop talking for a second. One of my teachers, Miss McDearman, when I was in the 11th or 12th grade, she said, it's not what you do in life as your real job. She said, and I'm paraphrasing, she said, it's what you do in your leisure time. And I looked at her like, what in the world are you talking about? And what she was basically saying, a few years later, I began to understand, oh, how your leisure time is going to determine really a big part of the quality of your life. And certainly I'm fulfilled. I mean, I've got more things that, I mean, I love those things, and I take time out for swimming and ping pong and just have fun. Just have some fun. I don't just work. And I think that's very important. And family time is extremely very important to me.
Right. I think you've set me up for one last question so perfectly. And you know, that may have been your answer about how you spend your leisure time. And I was going to ask you what your advice would be for people entering the industry, but I'm going to amend that because, you know, when I get an opportunity to talk to somebody who has had a full career and has a family and is doing so many great things with your church and your community and with the industry and your business, maybe I just want to ask you just general, what would you tell people who are younger, who are coming up, whether in the industry or in life? What, if you could just tell them one thing, one bit of advice, what would it be?
Well, without sounding too religious, one of the things that changed my life was a scripture. It's Matthew 6:33 in the Bible. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, I didn't really understand that scripture for a while. But I began to look at that as, what does that really mean? And this was probably about 20 some years ago. Maybe 25 years ago, because, you know, your life, if you're not careful, can be a rat race. You're just running, you're running, you're running, you're running, you're running. You're trying to climb the ladder of success. You're doing this, you're doing that. So I had to put the brakes on a lot of things. Let me, what does this mean? And so I began to study the Bible and try to get some understanding. What does this mean? Because I grew up in a church. Mm-hmm. And I began to get some understanding about life and the things that are important. And I began to set some priorities, and my relationship with the Lord, understanding the Bible and implementing it, and then having a strong relationship with my wife was so important, my family. And so you can have success in business and all these things, and you lose out on your family. You know, it's tough. But now it's 70. I'm 70. I'll be 71 in two months. I'm having a blast with my wife, my kids, my grandkids. My mother is 99. She'll be 100 this year. I'm right at her house right now. And it's fulfillment. And it's very fulfilling. And as I get older, it's not like, oh, my goodness, I'm getting older. I want to make sure that I pass on the lessons I've learned in life. And the other thing I'll say that I hadn't planned on saying, but America has become, if we're not careful, the racial divide and the tensions we've seen the last few years, people just need to talk. You know, we would, I was the first to integrate, we integrated schools in 1964. Mm-hmm. And there's an article that was in the state paper down in South Carolina that says, South Carolina schools integrate quietly. It had a picture of my dad and my brother and myself and one other person on the front page of the paper. And I remember those days. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot. It was tough. And we ain't going to that, but I learned a lot about people. And that has helped me now in dealing with people, no matter, you know, what color, religion, what, just deal with people. And you don't, if you size up people and you don't really know them, you don't know what you're missing. And so I think that, and I kind of ramble a little bit with you, but life has its challenges. But if you're open to learn and be receptive to new ideas, you can have a great time.
I think that is quite possibly the best note we could end this on. Harris, thank you so much. I have really enjoyed talking to you and so appreciate everything you're doing for VTC. Don't miss an episode of Virginia Turfgrass. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also visit us at theturfzone.com.
You've been listening to The Turf Zone. Thank you to our sponsors, including BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.